long time and praying for this conference, and oh, this is the longest day of my life, I think. But at last the hour has come when I can greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just so happy to be here with you, with Brother and Sister Quisenberry and the other leaders that I have met, and every one of you. We're all here for the same purpose, aren't we? Yes. And all with the same background. I grew up a little girl in the Brethren Church, and I loved the Brethren Church. I was thinking sometime or other today, it was in the Sunday school class in the Brethren Church that I first became conscious of God. The pastor's wife was my Sunday school teacher, and I loved my Sunday school teacher like all little boys and girls do. She was the pastor's wife, and I loved my pastor. I loved him and looked forward to him coming to the house, and always wished when he came in he'd sit on the davenport so I could scoot up beside him. And I was the one who kept him busy answering questions. I had all kinds of questions. And he was very, very precious to me, baptized me. And we had a very precious relationship, because when I was 12 years old, I had old-fashioned typhoid fever. And I had 11 hemorrhages in a day and a night. And the doctor left our house saying she will not live through the night, and you can call me anytime because she'll go sometime tonight. It's just impossible for her to live through the night. But when he started down the steps, my precious pastor started up the steps. A Brethren pastor. Did you hear what I said? He came up those stairs two at a time and came in the room, and I hadn't talked to anybody for 3 days. But when he came to the side of my bed, I said, "Hello, Pastor," and then sailed off again, and I was out floating out here somewhere between heaven and earth. And he laid his hands on me and brought a little oil along with him. He had never prayed for the sick before, but he was preparing a message. While he was preparing his message for Sunday, the Lord opened to him the third chapter of James. He wasn't going to speak from James, but he just found, he didn't know that chapter was in the Bible before, he just found it. And then he said, the Lord told him, "You go and pray for your girl, and I'll heal her." And up those steps he came, two and three at a time, and anointed me and prayed for me. And my fever that was 103 for 7 days, enough to burn out your brain forever, came down to normal. And in the morning when the doctor came in, he said, "What on earth has happened here?" Well, heaven had come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was the one I wanted to know about it. And he came, and I scooted up beside him again and told him my story. And he said, "I want to hear you pray." So he and I knelt together, and ooh, it was so easy to pray. And he says, don't ever let anybody take from you what God has given you. Yes. Yes. Well, so I wanted to stay with them, but they wanted to send me to the mountains of Kentucky. You know, they don't think much of lady preachers. Did you know that? But I said, God hasn't called me to the mountains of Kentucky. I don't know what he has for me. Well, I won't make it a long story, but I wasn't about to go to the mountains of Kentucky. They thought a woman could go down there, possibly, and be accepted. Well, the dear Lord has given me a worldwide ministry, really. He let me go to 27 different countries, and he and I have had a marvelous time together. It has been wonderful. And now he lets us be together to rejoice in him. I've been to most of the denominations sharing what this wonderful Lord Jesus, all of them. And I just put on my robe and come in on the processional. And when I am introduced to speak, I just say, I come to you a fulfillment of prophecy. The Lord said in the last days he'd pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy in the last days. So I am here a fulfillment of prophecy. So the Episcopalians accept me, and the Presbyterians and the Catholics, they haven't let me in their sanctuary yet. I'm just waiting to get in there. They'll still put me in a side room somewhere, but I go to them anyway. I go to them anyway. And isn't it wonderful what the Lord is doing today? It is positively wonderful. I'm glad our theme is to turn your eyes on Jesus. But you know, that's a little bit suggestive, too. Where have our eyes been? We just want a better glimpse of him, don't we? Yes. Jesus, we love you so much. And we just invite Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to come to us now. Holy Spirit, interpret to us this wonderful word that you inspired. Jesus, please let us see you these days. Father, you arranged the whole thing. We ask that you get your will done and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was asked to speak on Jesus the High Priest. Maybe I could speak on that at another time, but tonight I want to look with you to Jesus the High Priest and that marvelous anointing that was on Jesus the High Priest. And that applies to us because we are kings and priests unto God, right? Amen. And so this anointing, this same anointing that was upon the priests of old and upon the Jesus, the High Priest, He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore has the Lord thy God anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows, because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He was anointed. All right, now will you turn to Psalms 133, and there we'll read about the anointing of the priest. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. Would you, with me, like to have a fresh anointing from the presence of the Lord? Oh, yes, honey. Yes. And let us all believe God for this. Yes. Now, if you listen tonight, I promise you, you will hear something. I believe God has given me this message for this conference, for tonight. I believe it. You know, a sermon is one thing, but a thus saith the Lord is something different, isn't it? And when I am invited to speak, I like to hear from God that this is God's word for these people. And I feel I have the word of the Lord for this group tonight. God bless you. I'm so glad you came. All right. Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now that's a real pouring, a real pouring of oil upon this man, until that oil flowed down to the very skirts or hem of the skirts of his garment, covering the whole man. And this is what the Lord has said to me. The need for a heavy, rich anointing of the Holy Spirit to carry the church through this last hour to the coming of the Lord. You believe we're in the last hour, don't you? And you believe Jesus is coming soon, don't you? But he's not here yet. And you know, like I know, and if you are in the spirit and sensitive at all to spiritual things, you feel the powers of darkness settling down today. Do you feel that? Heaviness. A heaviness that is settling down over the whole world, everywhere. And it's settling down over the churches. It's settling down over Christians. A darkness. Do you feel that darkness? And it's heavier and it's darker, and everywhere I go I'm questioned, and what is it that I feel? What makes it so hard to pray? What is this thing that seems to blacken my mind, darken my mind? I don't understand my own mind these days. The darkness that would settle down over God's people, the blackness as the powers of darkness, and you see appears the prince of the powers of the air, and as he's coming down to earth, being welcomed the way he is, welcomed. The spirit of the Antichrist is being welcomed in the world today. And as he comes down and moves down to take possession the way the world is going to allow him to take possession, we feel that. We're very, very sensitive to what's going on. It's terrible out there, but whoever thought it would be as evil as it is today? We thought when the Antichrist came and set up his kingdom, there would be this breakdown in morals everywhere, and he would take over. But dear me, whoever thought that our schools would be as they are today? Again, they're anti-God, really. Whoever thought the films, it's, dear me, there's no God everywhere. It's death, it's hell, it's everything out of the pit today. Television, films, papers, headlines. But whoever thought our pulpits would be anti-God and anti-Christ? But we're here. We're in this hour. And honey, you'll have to excuse me. I can't help but say honey somehow. So if I call you honey, do you mind? That just comes out. I love my audiences. I love people. I'm a people person. And that just slips out. I just want to draw you close and pour out the truth. There's an awful battle waging out there, and I want you to know what this battle is. The battle is between the spirit of the Antichrist and the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost wasn't in the world, he would have taken over long ago. It's the Holy Ghost that is the restraining power that is in the earth today. And the dear Holy Ghost is trying to get righteousness through and maintain the righteousness wherever he can in the earth. And he will help us if we allow him to help us. But the battle that's going on is between the Antichristal spirit and the Holy Spirit. Did you ever wonder what our churches would be like by this time if the Holy Ghost had not been outpoured? Did you ever think about that? What would our churches be like? What would they be like if the Holy Spirit hadn't been outpoured just when he came in? Sweet breath of God, sweet Holy Spirit, that came and blew in that fresh, clean breath from God that quickened us and awakened us and brought us into a deeper consciousness of God, and enabled us by the power of the Spirit to say, no, I'm going this way. I'm going to be true to God. I'm going to be true to the light that he's given me. I'm going to be true to truth and walk with God. And so help me, precious Holy Spirit. And he has come to help us. I have to continue to make you conscious of this darkness that's here. It's this darkness that's settling down over government, that has thrown every government on the face of the earth is in confusion. Every capital on the face of the earth is in confusion. People are in confusion. Families are in confusion. Young people, God bless you, precious young people. The young people are in confusion, and they don't know why. Young people, I want to say to you in this first service, this week it's going to fly, and it's just a breath, and it'll be over. So I want to encourage everybody, give your whole self to God from this very first meeting. Get to God. Get everything you can get in these days ahead of us. Young people, seek the Lord with all of your heart. And you who have not yet received the precious baptism and fullness of the Holy Ghost, I pray God every one of you will. In Jesus' sacred holy name, believe for it, ask for it, believe for it. I'm telling you, this is the only power in the universe that's going to hold the church and help us as individuals to be overcomers and stand in this last hour and go through to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you say amen? Yes, 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 yes. Demon power everywhere. Parents, don't let your young people play with demons and dragons. Don't let them get into that awful occult stuff. That's right out of hell. When that E.T. thing rose up, I didn't know what anything about E.T. And I turned the television on to get the news, and that thing came up in that television. I felt demon power come out of that television. That's of the devil and demon power. And I turned that thing off so fast and rebuked that devil to get out of that house. Today, we have to stay in God. Or if we don't, we'll become a victim of the darkness. We'll become a victim of the thing that is happening in this last hour. This awful thing that is settling down, that's throwing our churches into confusion. There are more churches in confusion than there are in revival today. 10,000 thanks to God for what He's given you. Won't you say amen? Amen? There are many more churches in confusion than in revival, and pastors who don't know what to do. And unless they find the way through and out into God and into the light, they will go into the apostasy. And the apostasy is right down there ahead of us. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. All right. This awful battle that's going on between darkness and the precious Holy Spirit. And God is moving everywhere to counteract this thing. Revivals are springing up even in foreign lands where there are no missionaries. It's just marvelous. And people, I meet people who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and don't know what they have. They don't know what they have. They haven't any idea what they have. I went into one church and they asked me to speak, and I did. I spoke on the new birth. And at the close of the meeting, I gave an altar call. And the altar was just lined from one end to the other. And I prayed with this one man. And he said, I want what you talked about tonight. And I said, well, I talked about the new birth. I want that. Well, I said, you can have that. And so I told him how to get saved, how to be born again. And I said, now let's pray. And when we started praying, he started off, and I didn't know what he was saying. And I listened to this, and I thought, is he German? What is this man? What is this man? And I said, no. I never heard German that sounded exactly like that. So he knew I wasn't praying, so he opened his eyes. I said, brother, what was that you said? He says, I don't know what I said. I said, how long have you been talking like that? Oh, he said, for a long time. I hope that's all right, he said. I hope it's all right. I talk like that, but I don't know what I'm saying. But somehow I feel God understands what I'm saying. And, tell me about this. And he said, I live alone. And I read the word and I pray, give myself to God best I know how, sister. And so one day I just start to talk to God just like that. But I hope it's all right. Is that all right? I don't know what I'm saying. I hope it's all right. I said, oh, brother, you want to be born again? Is that what you're here for? Yes, I want to be born again. I want what you had. Well, I said, you were born again a long time ago. You'd never have this that you have now. Yes, yes, yes. And then I told, you have what is called in the Bible the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that it? And then I had to tell this man what he had. And I meet people like this all the time. Just a little while ago, a 16-year-old boy came in the plane and sat down beside me. He says, you have a Bible. And I said, yes, honey, I have a Bible. He said, do you know about tongues and stuff? Well, I said, a little bit, just a little bit. Yes, 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 yes. More and more and more. I appreciate Jesus, don't you? More and more, I appreciate the precious Holy Spirit that Jesus has sent into the world to his church, to empower his church, to enable us to get through overcomers. It was the precious Holy Spirit who took him through. And he knew we needed the very same equipment that he needed. He never could have made it without the precious Holy Spirit, without that holy anointing that came on him down there at his baptism. He never could have gone through the things that he suffered and endured without the precious Holy Spirit. The word says he went to the cross in the power of the Spirit. You and I can go there no other way. He rose from the dead in the power of the Spirit. There's no other way we can know the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but by the power of the precious Holy Spirit. We have to have this sacred holy anointing upon us in this last hour. This is the equipment that he sent on the early church, and it took them through. It took them to the stake. How could they go to the stake? How could they go out there? How could they stand there? Noah's watching those lions chew up their friends. At a time when there was so much of God and so much devil at the same time. Never was there a time like this. Never was there a time when there was so much good and so much evil. Never ever has there been so much false doctrine abroad being brought into the church. False Christ, deceptive spirits everywhere. And the church is being shaken, shaken, shaken. That's one side of the shake-up. The other side of the shake-up is the compromise. That is everywhere. Compromise? What a battle today between flesh and spirit. What a battle between what is God and what's devil, what's the world, what is the spirit, what is flesh, what is born of the spirit. Why are our eyes darkened? Why not the discernment? Why don't we know? Well, the church is being battered from every side. And these awful mixtures and compromise and deceiving spirits and false doctrines. But God is calling out of the midst of all of this a company of people who say, I'm on the Lord's side, who are open to truth, who are accepting truth, who believe in the truth, who want the truth, who want the truth, who love the truth. Honey, that's the crowd for me. That's the crowd for me. And I tell you, I have never met such hunger. I've been preaching for over 50 years, but I've never met such hunger as I am meeting today. I was called to conduct a meeting, and it was Sunday, and the tent was packed and jammed. They threw up this big tent for this occasion, and there was people on the outside, and it started raining, and here the rain was just pouring down, and those people were getting wet, and I had to speak there through an interpreter, and I couldn't stand those people getting wet in the rain. So I stopped speaking, turned to my interpreter, and I said, don't those people know they're getting wet? Why don't they move in, and we'll all move together, and surely they can get in here. She said, some of these people have walked for 15, 20, 35 miles to get here for this meeting. They're not body conscious. They're not clothes conscious. They're not food conscious. They're not health conscious. Get on with the sermon. Oh, but I love that. I love that. And after I preached for an hour and a half, they said, why does sister stop so soon? Yeah, hunger, that's hunger. That's hunger for God. Honey, appreciate the hunger that God has given you. Nurture that little bit of hunger that he's given you. Nurture it. Be thankful for it. Run to his word. Run to the place of prayer. Run to God. Run to God. Ask him to help you. Help you to keep walking in the light. John says, walk in the light while you have the light. The darkness is coming. And how great will be that darkness. So walk in the light. All right. So we're going to... what we need to help us to steer clear of all of this and stay with the crowd that's moving with God. That's the crowd I want to be with, don't you? That's staying in God and that is moving with God. That's my crowd. That's the company that I want to be with. All right. This is this crowd. Anointed priests. Prophets and priests and kings with his sacred, holy, priestly anointing upon them. how precious and blessed they are. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the very skirts of his garment, that just immersed and submerged this man with this holy oil just running all the way down, covering the whole person, not just the part, but the whole. The whole person is spirit and soul and body, intellect, emotions, and will. That's the whole man. That's all there is to us. But that's what God wants to anoint. And I want to say right away that it's the whole person and not just one member. If I move among denominations, so many people come to me and they'll say, "Sister Hammond, would you please lay your hands on me and I want my prayer language. Would you lay your hands on me and pray I'll speak in tongues?" I say, "I wouldn't like to do that, honey. No, I won't do that." "Oh, you won't?" "No." "Well, don't you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" "Oh, that's different. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 100% plus. But I'm not going to lay hands on you and pray that you will just speak in other tongues, because how many of you know you are more than a tongue? A tongue is only one little member. Believe me, we need that thing baptized in the Holy Spirit." "Well, I want my prayer language." "Yes, honey, I know you want your prayer language, but I tell you, you're going to need the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you get up from prayer. You're going to need the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you meet your husband. Or when you meet your wife. Or when you're dealing with these children, your babies. They need to meet you baptized in the Holy Ghost. The whole of you. Sure, we need it. To pray, we need the prayer language, but we need him 24 hours of the day in every part of our being. And this sacred oil flowed down from his head, poured on his head. Oh, how we need our heads baptized. We need our heads baptized. I want the Lord to baptize all of our heads in this meeting. Yes. Oh, all of our mental faculties. I can't tell you what it means to me to have my faculties, mental faculties, anointed by the precious Holy Spirit. Did you ever hear about the battle of the mind? How many of you ever have thoughts that you wish you didn't have, and things go on in your mind? You need help in there. The devil attacks your mind. He attacks your mind. How many of you ever argue with somebody? A mental argument goes on inside you with somebody else and they aren't even there. They don't know anything about the argument at all. Just in it goes on in the mind. We need our minds renewed. We need our mind, the mind of Christ. Oh, I can't tell you what it means to have these faculties anointed by the precious Holy Spirit, to have that spirit of wisdom and illumination, revelation. When I come to this precious holy word of God, I pray continually that a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the things of God will be upon me. And God, by the Holy Ghost, illuminates my mind and opens up this precious word, opens our understanding, gets into our reasoning. He baptizes our reasoning with the Holy Ghost. He baptizes our whole, those areas. Do you ever feel dumb? You know, if I would, I hesitate to say it, but nevertheless it's true, we are the dumbest people, stupid, dull. We're in darkness concerning the things of God, right? We don't know God only by the precious Holy Ghost. Everything we know about God has come to us by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that true? Oh, to have our minds, these poor, dull, dumb, stupid things that we are. Let illumination come. Let light come. Let understanding come. And this comes under the anointing. Honey, just to narrow down the baptism of the Holy Ghost to speak in other tongues, oh, there is a ministry there, but he wants to baptize the whole of you. And really, we don't have the New Testament baptism of the Holy Spirit until he gets the whole of us. And every part of us is baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wants you. The Lord wants you. He wants the person. He wants the personality. He wants the whole vessel. He wants the whole temple. He wants to live in every part of you. He comes on Jesus in us. You know we have to be born again before we receive the baptism of the Spirit. And he comes on this Holy Christ within us. And then in the power of the Holy Christ, the nature of Christ, the Spirit of Christ is poured out through us. And all of our head, our eyes are in the head, you know. Our eyes are in the head. And he gives us vision so we see like he sees. We see like he sees. In ministering to people, in praying with people. Woo! The Lord let me see things that, Lord. Woo! And he lets you hear. Hearing. He wants to baptize our ears. Yeah, we hear what Jesus hears. We hear what people don't say. Because people come for counseling and they go round and round and round and round and round and they aren't telling you the truth. You have to hear what they don't say. And they're stunned sometime when you face them with it. They're just stunned. Oh, the Lord let me see a man putting his cigarette stubs in a concrete block in his garage. What? I was living in that man's house. He wants to baptize our ears. Yeah, we hear what Jesus hears. We hear what people don't say. Because people come for counseling and they go round and round and round and round and round and they aren't telling you the truth. You have to hear what they don't say, and they're stunned sometime when you face them with it. They're just stunned. Oh, the Lord let me see a man putting his cigarette stubs in a concrete block in his garage. What? I was living in that man's house. I didn't know he smoked. I knew he chewed an awful lot of peppermint, but but here he was. He came to me. He wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I said, "Brother, do you think there's any reason why the Lord is not giving you the baptism of Spirit? You've been asking for the baptism a long time. Is there anything in your life, anything?" And I just pressed on that, any reason why the Lord wouldn't give you the baptism. Can you think of anything? "No, sister, hallelujah. I can't think of one single thing. Praise the Lord. Can't think of one thing." And I said, "Ooh," and my heart started thumping because he was the man I saw dropping the subs in the concrete block in the garage. And when my heart started, I knew God wanted me to say, "Thou art the man." And I was living in the man's house. How could I do that? How could I do it? Well, you don't get anywhere with people unless you obey God. So I had to do that awful thing and say, "Art thou smoking cigarettes?" I said, "Brother, I saw some stubs in a concrete block. Would those stubs be yours?" Honey, he was shot right through the middle. He really was. He walked out on me. I was in his house. I didn't see him again until I left the house. But a couple of years later, this man wrote me a special delivery from the hospital in that city. "Sister Hammond, will you please forgive me? I'm dying of cancer of the lungs because of smoking cigarettes. Will you forgive me?" If I had obeyed God way back there, I wouldn't be dying of cancer today. Of course I forgave him, but poor darling, look what he missed. What he could have had in God. Yes. Yes, you have to hear what people don't say. You know, Jesus did, didn't he? They came to him, who knows how to talk to Deity? But he hears what they don't say. Oh, I could tell you so many stories of hearing what they don't say. But we have to have, if you're going to minister and God has called you for such an hour as this. I know there's pastors here, there's pastors' wives here, there's leaders here, there's Sunday school teachers here, but there's mothers and dads here. There's just people here that God wants and needs in this last hour. I plead with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you give yourself to God and ask Him to pour this holy anointing on every part of your life, that your eyes will see what Jesus sees, your ears will hear what Jesus hears, our lips will speak, not only in tongues that they don't understand what we're saying. Jesus says, the words which I say unto thee, they are spirit and they are life. And God grant that when we talk to people, we'll not pour death out on them. We'll not pour death. I've been in some churches, honestly. I was in a church not too long ago. I don't know why they ever called me there. I don't know. God just wanted me there for somebody, but I could hardly breathe in that place. It was so dead. I could hardly breathe. And when I went home after the first Sunday morning service, I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. I know you told me to come, but I don't know what I'm doing here. I said, oh God, every word I said this morning seemed to hit the wall and come back. Nobody seemed to have ears to hear the word of the Lord. Tell me, Jesus, talk to me about this pastor, because the people are what the pastor is. Excuse me, is that so? Say yes. Only six of you did. The rest of you say yes. You know what the Lord said? He says the ground here has only been prepared for grass seed. Do you know how you prepare ground for grass seed? You don't go very deep, do you? Say no. No. And then you just scatter the grass seed. You just scatter it. He said the ground, there's no depth. The ground is only prepared in this place for grass seed. Ah, but God was after somebody there. Now if you don't tell anybody, I'll tell you who He was after. The pastor. Bless his heart. Yes, that he came on the side over to the house where I was being entertained and said, sister, will you talk to me? Oh, you come, my precious brother. Will I talk to you? Come on. And I just wanted to take him in my arms. Sometimes that's all right, isn't it? Sometimes that's all right. I wanted to take him in my arms. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I knew what was happening. I knew exactly what was happening. And I knew my word in that church was like Martha's word to Mary at the tomb of Lazarus. Martha went out to call to Mary. The Master is come and called for thee. He called. The Master is here. He's called for you. Mary got down. Oh, isn't it a wonderful day when the Master comes and calls for you? God, give us open ears, pierced ears. Oh, God, open our ears, pierce our ears. David said, dig my ears, that we can hear the faintest whispers when he comes to talk to us, there isn't anything like the oil of the Holy Ghost to open up our ears that have been clogged up. The oil flowed down over the priest, down over his eyes, and anointed his eyes. Baptized, he baptized our eyes. Down over our ears, he baptized our ears. Down over our lips, he baptizes our lips. Oh, do you know he baptizes your nose too? Did you know that? Why would he want to baptize the nose? Anybody got a clue? Discernment. Discernment. Awaken. Awaken. Honey, if ever there was a day we needed discernment, don't we need it today? Oh, God. Help us. I was in a situation a little while ago and I said, my Father, where is the discernment? Where is the discernment? We need it so much today. Every faculty, every member he wants to baptize in the Holy Spirit. Yes, he says, my sheep. What? They know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. They will not follow. A dear young lady came to me a little while ago, and she says, "Sister Anna, I've had an experience." She said, You know that preacher that came into town and he's over here in a motel? And she said, I went over there the other night to hear him. And oh, she said, it was terrible. It was just terrible. And finally I said, Jesus, what is the matter with me? And she said, you know, Jesus, his presence became so real. And he just spoke to me and he said, because he's a stranger and you don't know that voice. She jumped up and got out of there as fast as she could. Good for her. You do the same thing. You do the same thing. You do the same thing. Yeah. The words that he speaks of. Spirit and life. And that oil flows down, baptizes our ears, our eyes, our lips, and our neck. David says the neck of the bride is like the Tower of David. And I wonder, I for a long time wonder, what is David talking about? What is he talking about? Like the Tower of David. Any way you look at a person, from their back, from the front, from the side, you can see their neck. It's like the watchtower. It's a watchtower. Yeah. Some are stiff-necked, you know. But the bride of Christ, her neck is a watchtower. She knows what's going on every side. Yes. But she has eyes only for Jesus. Jesus. Who set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem and fulfill the will of the Father in his life. And he will give us a strong neck. To set our face steadfastly to do the will of God. and not be turned either to the right or the left or any other way. And that brings us to the baptism of the will. Anybody here have a will? Know anything? How we need that will baptized in the precious Holy Spirit. Honey, this is the reason for all the problems that's in our churches. We're either a pillar or a problem. And it centers in the will of the individual. The will. I have seen people, you know, in the 50, see, I've been in this thing, I've had the baptism for over 50 years. 50 years ago, we used to have good old-fashioned carrying meetings, and I just love them. And we miss an awful lot, you know, when we think the Lord is too slow in giving us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Get down before God and give Him an opportunity to get at us. To get at us. It's you He wants. It's you. And He wants to get that nail-pierced hand down there inside of us and deal with the will until we can say with Jesus in our Gethsemane, not, say it with me, my will, but thine be done. And I tell you, the next thing that will happen to you will be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I said, the last words I said in English were, I surrender all. Oh, and the laying down of our will, the giving up of our will to the will of God. The will of God. Oh, my. Oh. The stories I could tell of God dealing with the wills of people to bring that will into subjection. You know, I've had pastors will come and they'll say, this one is not in subjection. And this one is not in subjection. And this one will not surrender to authority. And the reason I'm having trouble with this one, they will not submit to authority. And before the conversation is over, I find out why the congregation is not submitted to authority. Because he's as bullheaded as they come and not surrendered to the Lord. One pastor's wife said, I want to tell you, when Jimmy sits down his mule foot, that's it. Oh, you know, would you forgive me for all I'm saying about the preachers? Are you a preacher? Forgive me for all I'm saying about the preachers? What's that for? He hasn't answered my question yet.
Sure, I'll forgive you to teach.
Oh, yes, there must be submission in the home. The children. What's a home like where there's no submission to the parents? What's the home like? But when the parents aren't submitted to God and under His authority, and the children see that, those teenagers know a thing or two, and those children have eyes to see and ears to hear what's going on, and when mother and dad learn, now see, that's a process. Learn. We have to learn of me. Jesus. That's a process. That's why I like you to get down there and tarry and go through the process until we're really and truly submitted, yield. That will is surrendered to God. And then the children will follow. Amen? The young people will follow. The church will follow. And how different it is when everybody just wants the will of God and is submitted to Him. What a difference it makes. Yeah, the will and this emotional nature. Ooh, I just love, I could spend the whole evening on having our emotional nature baptized. Honey, that's where the music comes from. When the emotional nature is baptized. But he must baptize that emotional nature. This was Jesus' secret. Why? He hated iniquity. He loved righteousness. The pendulum must swing the same way both ways. He hated iniquity. He loved righteousness. And you and I must too. And in our emotional nature, hey, with everything that's in you, hate sin. Be done with sin. Not up and down and in and out and saved and backslidden. Be done with sin. And go on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving righteousness, choosing righteousness. And then that whole emotional realm, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's why no people on earth can sing and worship like people where the oil has flowed over their whole emotional nature. And when that whole realm is given to God, that love life, surrender your love life to God. My brothers, my sisters, surrender your love life to God. And I promise you, if you do, there will not be one more divorce among us. Yes, let him get into that love life. We love the Lord with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That verse really says with all the strength of your mind, the strength of your heart, the strength of your soul, love the Lord your God. And when it gets down in there, you start singing. Oh, I love it when the Lord really lets me sing in the Spirit. When he really, really lets me sing in the Spirit. Oh, you would love it too if you'd hear me. Don't you love it when he lets you sing in the Spirit? Ooh, I went into a church, and this Baptist minister was interested in the baptism. He brought his whole deacon board and elders and their wives. Let's go up and hear this woman. It's announced she's going to speak on speaking tonight. So here they were. They come in and fill up my pastor. Where did these people come from? Who are they? They're Baptist pastor. The whole crowd out was Baptist. So I got up to speak and started to read my text. Why, I had no more idea of what was going to happen. I have no thought of getting out there and dancing now. No thought of it. But here I was. Oh, I thought I was going to read scripture.
Thought of what?
And I started. I opened my mouth and started to sing. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Way over in Joel. How did I get over in Joel? And I says, fear not, and up the scale and down the scale. Fear not, O land, fear not. And I, oh, this is God. I can't sing like that. I meant it to do. Fear not, O land. Be glad and be joyful, up and down the hills and out here. Oh, yeah. Oh, I said, wasn't that beautiful? It was a little better than I did right now. I was drunk, just all over. You know when the oil flows over, oh, you're just drunk. I'm drunk now. At the close of the meeting, one of these folks came to me. Miss Hammond, did you attend such an opera in Europe? I said, no, I've never attended an opera in my life. Oh, she said, oh, yes, you did. And I said, I beg your pardon, but I've never attended an opera in my life. Oh, yes, she said, you sang the main theme, not their words. You just said, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. You just put other words to it, but you sang the whole scale of a certain opera that they sing. No, that was the Holy Ghost. I hadn't anything to do with it. Guess what? The Baptist pastor received the baptism. His wife received the baptism. Oh, Deacon Ford received the baptism. The elders received the baptism of the Spirit. Oh, they were my shadow for a while. Can you tell us some more? Come on, I'll tell you some more. Come on, aren't you glad there's always more? Yes, there's always more. Oh, shall I stop or go on? Some more. Oh, thank you. The oil, you know, it says it flowed down over his beard. And that means all down over his nature. His nature and his disposition. All that's in here. All that's in here. Your nature, your disposition. Would you like to have your disposition baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yeah. We're a lot easier to live with, aren't we? When our natures are subdued and we're conquered by that conqueror. Hallelujah! You sang about him tonight. Isn't he wonderful? Say his name. Amen. Say it again. Mighty conqueror! Do you want him to conquer you? Please say yes. Please say yes. Please give him that privilege. Please spend your time here. Yielding your life to him and letting him conquer us. And then let him take these hands and baptize them when he gets our nature and he gets our disposition. He wants our hands to baptize them, and it shall come to pass. But we can quote scripture, but it doesn't come to pass unless the oil is there. Unless he baptizes our natures and really gets hold of us, we hurt people. We hurt people. He doesn't want that. He says, you go and lay hands on the sick and walk. He recover. So the oil keeps on flowing down, flowing down, flowing down. Do you just want a prayer language when you can have all this? And they all said, no way. Yes, flows down. And our feet get caught up in the oil. And they get soaked. Yes. And we walk with the Lord. And honey, if you walk on with him, you will arrive where he is, you know. That's what I want. Yes. Walk as he walked. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. How are we going to walk in the Spirit unless we have the Spirit? Yes. He wants those feet to be baptized in the precious Holy Spirit. Okay, just one thing more I want to mention, and I purposely waited till the last to speak about our shoulders. You know, the high priest's shoulder was baptized, and he carried a breastplate and shoulder caps that had a stone in it for each one of the tribes of Israel, and he carried them before the Lord continuously. And he wants this holy oil to flow down and baptize our shoulders and make us intercessors, high priest ministry is to bring God to the people and interpret God to the people and bring the people to God and hold them in prayer and intercession before God until the answer comes and he's promised to hear us. Oh, how he does hear us. He does hear us. We know he hears us when we give ourselves to prayer for the whole body of Christ today needs prayer, right? Do you know anybody that doesn't need prayer? Oh, the whole body of Christ, everybody I know needs prayer. Pastors needs prayer. Pastors' wives need prayer. Sunday school teachers, moms and dads need prayer. Those precious young people need prayer. God baptizes all with the precious Holy Ghost and with a spirit of holy intercession to bear the whole body of Christ before the world. Our brothers and our sisters behind the Iron Curtain, those who are in concentration camps, those who know tomorrow will be their last day on this earth, they know that. those who are suffering. Nobody knows anything about where they are or anything about them. He knows. He knows. He'll put prayer on our hearts for them. Oh, my Father, let holy oil flow down. Jesus went to Calvary and came home, and he told us the first order of business when he got home, he would pray the Father to send another comforter. Father, you've heard the prayers of your Son. We thank you that the dear Holy Ghost has come. He's come. And you are here, Jesus, and you're the mighty baptizer. And you always have that horn of holy oil, that horn of holy oil, to pour down and make high priests out of all of us. Father, I lift up to thee my brothers, my sisters, every man, woman, young, poor person, boy and girl present. We just lift them up to you, Jesus. We ask you, please don't let us alone. Please don't let us alone. Keep on us, keep after us, keep dealing with us. Don't excuse anybody. Please, Lord, please make this whole campus a place of prayer. Let a spirit of prayer, intercession be upon us. And I ask in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that holy oil shall flow down. And every one of us, on me, Lord, on me, on all my brothers and sisters, a fresh anointing that each one can return to their church, to their homes, to their loved ones, a new person with a new anointing to minister in the spirit of the Holy Christ in every through every member of our being. We ask it for your glory, dear Lord Jesus. Be glorified. Be glorified in your church. Be glorified in your people. Be glorified in us, O God, in Jesus' sacred name. Amen. I couldn't possibly close the meeting and send you out without the opportunity for prayer. I just pray we'll make this whole auditorium a prayer room. Any who want to come forward to be ministered to for special prayer, special needs, you want to get saved. Oh, that's always the first thing. Don't, I beg you, don't go out unsaved. Come, run to Jesus. He's waiting for you. Come to receive the precious Holy Spirit for a fresh anointing or infilling. Honey, I said in the beginning, I'll say it again, this week's going so fast. Let's get down to business. From this very first night, you can come forward, you can turn around in the pew right where you are, get out in the aisles, come up on the platform, let us know if you want ministry or prayer. Come on, let's pray, let's pray, let's stand, everybody. You will be glorified. Oh, oh. Oh, does your heart say amen? Oh, God love you. God just put his arms around you and love you. And while we say in your church, Lord, be glorified, why don't you just turn around where you are? Pray, I mean really, let loose. Now, you let loose in song when you come in here tonight. You just came here to let loose, didn't you? Let loose in prayer. Really seek the Lord. Those who want the baptism of the Spirit, if you want to come forward, you come. Come on up here right now. Oh, how we want to pray with Him for you. All right, honey. Yeah.